As we open up scripture this morning, we will begin looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, and then verses 6 through 11. This is in some ways a follow-up of last week's sermon, that we need each other. And Peter gives us good reason to understand that. So let us read beginning at verse 1 and 2, and then we'll move to verse 6. And this is what is recorded there. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So far this morning, we're going to be taking a careful look at what it means to be trustees for God. What it means to be trustees for God. Have you ever had someone come up to you and ask you to hold something? Or have you ever asked someone to hold something for you? It could have been someone you know very well. But it usually happens when we find ourselves inconvenienced, when in fact we need an extra set of hands or arms or fingers. And yet as soon as we employ someone else to take care of something that belongs to us, even if it's only for a second, they become a trustee of ours. They then have the responsibility of taking care of our stuff as if it were their own. Well, God has given us something to take care of. God has essentially handed us something and said, "Watch these." And we might find ourselves surprised at what God has given us so that we might be trustees of God. Well, I'm not very often shocked at what I read in the Bible. After all, this is really as much a book about us as it is about God. It's often a book where we find ourselves exposed on two levels. We find ourselves exposed on the human level, that level at which our humanity shows, our life's bumps and bruises, warts, moles, onions, bunions, and all. And they're all exposed as human faults and failures. It's those places where we're most likely to find ourselves separated from God. On the other hand, We find ourselves exposed on the spiritual level, that place where the touch of God is recognized and revealed for all that it is. It's that level that we aspire to as Christians, but somehow never fully reach. It's that place where we lean most heavily on God's grace to get us over the proverbial hump of life. And then, of course, there is God's level. And while we've taken upon ourselves the yoke of Christ, we continually live in ways in which his yoke is not easy because we won't let it be. And his burden is not light because we continue to carry our burdens and the burdens of Christ at the same time. And this scripture is a marvelous example of where we find ourselves. Peter is very clear about how we should live. He suggests that we live our lives each day driven by our desire to do the will of God and not living according to our own selfish desires. And of course, the only reason he mentions this is because he notices a disconnect between what we are doing and what we're supposed to do. This is our human level at its most prominently exposed. And then in contrast, he offers to us a picture of how godly men and women should be living among us. He offers us those Christian virtues of love and caring and sharing that should be a part of every community of faith. And then, of course, sandwiched between our human and spiritual dilemma is the reason for our being and life, the glorification of God. It is because of God's glory we live, and because of God's glory we are alive. But most importantly, he offers to us God's purpose for that living. He simply says that we have become trustees of God. That trusteeship happens in two ways. Because we have received the Holy Spirit from God, we've been made trustees of God's Spirit present in us. That means we have the responsibility of keeping and caring for God's grace in ways that it is available to all who are in need of it. After all, God's grace wasn't given to us to keep. Grace is not a selfish thing. But it also means that we've been made trustees of God's possessions. We've been given the responsibility of caring for God's values. That which God cares for. And so to be a trustee of God puts us in a very enviable position. It means that we have a grave responsibility. It means we've been given responsibility for loving and caring for each other. And it also means we've been given trust. The responsibility to manage our own time and talents and gifts and relationships, all those things we've covenanted with God to care for. But it also means that God has placed trust in us to do what God needs to have done, to love others the way God loves us, at least until God returns. You see, brothers and sisters, to be a trustee of God or to be a steward of God takes commitment. It takes commitment to place God in the place of primary decision maker for everything we do. To live our earthly life by nothing but the will of God means that the question, "What would Jesus do?" becomes more than just the catchphrase. It becomes the foundation of every decision we would make. It means that every moral choice we make, every political decision we make, every financial choice we make, every philosophical argument we engage in, every act we do, and every conversation we hold, and everything we do must give consideration to the will of God in our lives. What else can it mean when we arm ourselves with the same mind and intention as Christ, but that we are willing to so live for the sake of God that we're willing to risk everything for the sake of Christ? That's why it's so important to live by the Spirit. is because in Christ, our spirits have already been judged to be more valuable than our human bodies. And in Christ, our spirits have been made alive and joined to the Spirit of God. We have become, in very real ways, direct trustees of God's Spirit now alive in us. That was the outcome of Pentecost. It's not just that God's Spirit was poured out on all humanity, it's that we've become God's dwelling place. That's why Paul reminded those in Corinthians, don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God is inside of you? Once the Spirit of God chose to dwell inside of us, we became trustees of God's Spirit until Christ comes again to reclaim and retrieve God, that which belongs to God. And yet our commitment to knowing and living as though we are trustees of God's Spirit, while it begins to address what it means to be a trustee of God, it only points us in the direction of our greatest responsibility and commitment. You see, friends, unless and until we begin to grab hold of what's really important to God and care for it, we've missed the point of being a good trustee. Unless and until we begin to take care of that which God has given us to take care of, we become like the steward who was given one talent and buried it. Unless and until we realize that God's greatest possession of value is on this earth and begin taking care of it, we all fail as stewards and trustees of God. You see, friends, being a trustee of God actually goes to the heart of taking care of God's property. And in some ways, it's amazing that of all the things required of being a good trustee, the most valuable thing to God is us. We are the reason Jesus died. We are the reason Jesus rose. We are the reason Jesus lives, and we are God's greatest treasure, the one thing that God has chosen us to be trustees over. It's how we love one another that becomes a primary responsibility of trusteeship. Relationship and how we take care of one another is more important than all of the other things we do. It's about how we treat one another, how we speak to one another, and how we use the gifts we've received from God to serve one another. And there's a reason for that. Until Michael Phelps, a young woman named Jenny Thompson was the most declared American woman when it came to the Olympic competition. She had won 10 Olympic medals in swimming, and especially in the last three that she participated in, which also meant that she has won more medals in swimming than any other Olympic athlete of any other nation besides Michael Phelps. And 8 of those 10 medals were gold. But the strange thing about it is she didn't win any of those 10 medals in individual events. She won them all in team events with 3 other swimmers. Now, as a result, some people questioned whether Jenny's swimming accomplishments ought to rank her with great Olympic champions. And she asked the question herself. The 27-year-old swimmer at that time from Dover, New Hampshire said, It's got to be very difficult to experience an individual gold versus a team gold. And ice skating champion Bonnie Blair said recently of Jenny, I wish she could feel what it's like for an individual gold, to witness it by herself and not just be a part of the team. She said, I find Jenny's accomplishments in the ego-driven culture refreshing. With ball players moving from team to team and demonstrating little team loyalty, Jenny is a marvelous example of a person whose genuine success came in the context of team play. And in reality, this is how the church should work as well. Our true stardom, our benefit, actually occurs when we participate as part of a winning team working together. On God's team, there's no room for superstars or mega celebrities who do it all on their own. We share our gifts with each other to benefit the common good. That's what it says in Paul's letter to Corinthians. And that's what it means to use our gifts to benefit everyone. We're not in this Christian race to outdo each other, and certainly not to outdo Christ. We're engaged in this ministry of Christ so that God's gift of love to us can not only be shared among us, but be shared with others in ways in which God receives the glory. Our greatest gift as a trustee of God is on display when we show that we can take care of each other, and not just those in the family of faith, but all humanity. We assume that responsibility, remembering that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the world might be saved. A trustee's work then is really salvation work. So let's be faithful and committed as trustees of God, because that's what we are called to be. And not just a trustee who keeps God's property, but a trustee who cares for God's property, because that is who we are. God is counting on us to care for one another so that we might declare the glory of God before the world as a loving and caring God of mercy. You see, friends, we may remember the words and sing that old song, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his loving wings abide, God will take care of you." But as trustees of God, the responsibility of caring falls on us. We're how God will take care of the world. The responsibility of sharing our gifts, of encouraging one another, of speaking the very words of God to one another so that we are edified and God is glorified, falls on us. And so if we want to glorify God, if we really want to glorify God, we should love one another. If we want to glorify God, we should care for one another. If we want to glorify God, we should share God's gifts, the gifts that God has given us, with each other and the world, so that when it's all said and done, the world might one day join in a collective chorus and sing with one accord, "Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost." And that's what a trustee of God does. Glorifies God in all things. And that is the word of God today for the people of God today.